fighting for America.
Yeah, a cop just got shot.
I saw him. He got shot in the face.
Yeah, he got shot. I saw that. Laid on the ground. I didn't get him, but I saw him. They taking cover. It was none of the protesters. It was at least 500 feet up tip, and we didn't see it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Seriousness, the violence that took place, it's really sad and really shocking, and we hope to never hear of something like this again. And I mean, this is really just terrible, terrible.
Fighting for you.
How much traffic control does the city of Eagle need, for crying out loud? Everybody understands green light, red light.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
He's a five-year-old.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Phone number is 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You can always reach us at kevin@kidoam.com on Facebook and everything else. Joining us now, whether he's hosting an Intelligence Committee briefing or on national television or protecting the folks in Idaho, Senator Jim Risch with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Well, we're just going to talk about property rights and eminent domain and Eagle, but I guess we'll go on to... You and the Iranians in the Hillary Clinton newsletter.
I apologize for the short string I'm on this point. We're in the Foreign Relations Committee. In fact, I just stepped out of it. We're hearing the proposal by the president for the authorization use of military force in Syria and Iraq. Obviously, a serious matter, and we've got a number of witnesses in there we need to hear from. So I apologize that it's going to be a little shorter maybe this morning than what I'd like, but it is what it is. So have at it, Kevin.
Oh, no, sir. We you know, no need to apologize. We appreciate it. We'll make it very quick. The fallout concerning the letter to the Iranian government, you've been very vocal. We saw you last night on CNN. Your thoughts?
Well, this is probably one of the most serious issues that I faced since I've been here. This continuing effort by the Iranians to build a nuclear weapon and obtain a nuclear weapon is something that will affect generations to come. If they are successful in getting a nuclear weapon, all of their neighbors in the Middle East will do so, be it Saudi Arabia, be it Egypt, be it all of those countries. They have said that they would have to arm if Iran does. The United States, obviously, is very much against this, but if you think we're against it, if you're one of their neighbors, you should hear them talk about it. They are very much against it. And these people are that the administration is dealing with are not to be trusted. They're enemies of the United States. They have a long, long history lying to us and cheating. And frankly, anything we can do to stop them from getting a nuclear weapon should be explored. And that includes the negotiations that are going on. I don't like the way they're going. I think most members of Congress don't like the way they're going. The administration themselves say they don't like the way that it's going and think that this probably is, in my judgment, more likely than not, it's not going to succeed. I think everybody is the frame of mind that that no deal is substantially better than a bad deal. And frankly, the administration is not listening to Congress, and so thus the letter. And it's interesting to see that the administration is defending the Iranian administration, but it is what it is there, too.
Senator, two more quick questions. Number sure. One, how concerned are you about this hearing that you're into that you had to step out for a minute when we're talking about the authorization of use of force?
I didn't understand the question, Kevin.
I'm trying to talk a little too fast. My bad on that one. But
no, that's all right.
We're talking about, you know, the reauthorization or the use of force in the Middle East. Once again, I know you're very concerned that our troops are used effectively and that we have a coherent strategy to use them.
That's a really good question, and that's what this is all about. I mean, I think most everyone is convinced that something's got to be done about this, and that this group, this ISIS group that has emerged, is making Al-Qaeda that brought down the Twin Towers and have done other things, making them look like a choir boys with the atrocities that they commit. So it gets you get into the weeds a little bit on this, but what they're trying to do is establish a caliphate. They're the ones right now carrying the flag of radical Islam. And as a result of that, they're drawing fighters from all over the world. There's other groups of radical Muslims who want to be the lead dog, if you would. And this group has emerged as that, and they're well funded. They're at times they've taken as much as $2 million a day from oil sales and kidnappings, and also just from contributions from wealthy radical Islamists. And this has got to be contained. And how we go about it is a matter of. A very vigorous debate here in Washington, D.C., and that's what this is all about right now. I think everybody's in the frame of mind that we're going to have to do something. What we're going to do and how we're going to go about it is a matter of a vigorous debate, which it should be, and that's where this stands right now. Again, a sober thing, but most everyone is in the frame of mind that we're not going to do what we've done in recent wars, where we wind up putting 100,000 plus troops on the ground. One of the things that has struck me in the years that I've been here is how quickly technology has changed the way we fight these kind of wars and the kind of wars that we're fighting. This is all done now in recent months from the air using both manned and unmanned aircraft. And they've been very, very successful. Indeed, I would argue as successful as boots in the ground. Now, there are people who disagree with me and say you have to put boots in the ground. But the good news there is that our Arab allies have stopped talking about this in terms of a third party. They now talk about we. They now understand that this radical Islamic movement is as much a threat to their country as it is to other countries. They've seen these people bring down governments, most recently in Yemen and other places, and now these other Arab nations see that this is a serious threat and are actually committed to putting boots on the ground, and they've done so.
Senator, final thought, former Secretary of State Clinton defending her private server. How serious is this?
You know, I think that remains to be seen, Kevin. You know, with the Clintons, what you can predict is this is going to go on for a long, long time. Remember how many months people wrung their hands over Whitewater, and eventually, if it goes on long enough, it just kind of goes away. Same thing with Benghazi. I mean, that's still going on, and look how long ago that's been. We never get to the bottom of it. So I expect that's probably how this is going to go. There's obviously stuff that they don't want us to see. Refusing to give access to the private server where these things were stored. And her excuse that, first of all, it was for convenience. Well, that's nonsense. I mean, everybody back here carries two devices. One is the official one that you do business on and of which there's a public record, and the other is your own private one, which you cannot do a public business on. So that excuse doesn't carry much water. And then her other excuse was, she said the vast majority of her emails were with people in the State Department and what have you, and those emails were caught on the other end when they were received. Well, maybe, but what about the ones that went to foreign governments or for that matter, were solicitations for money for their charity or foundation or whatever it is? Those are the ones that I think people are going to want to have a look at, and we'll never see those, I don't think. So anyway, it could be serious. I guess it depends on how it plays out over time, and the one prediction is it is going to take time, because that's just the way they do business.
Senator, we really appreciate you taking time for us today. Have a good one.
Kevin, nice to talk to you.
There we have it. Senator Rich earlier in the week, 6:15, 38 degrees in Boise. Kevin Miller in the morning. And look who just walked in. It's our old friend Pat from Middleton, who decided to just kind of show up unannounced.
Yeah, that's the best way to surprise you.
Apparently, yes.
It gets you off guard.
So what are you in town for? You're a long way from Middleton, buddy.
Well, I'm a volunteer judge for the DECA competition held at the Grove Hotel this year.
Right, and for people that aren't familiar with what DECA is, heck, that goes back to even when Kevin Miller was in high school, the DECA program.
Yeah, well, even further than that, back when I was in high school, because I am older than you. Not by much, but I am.
Well, thank you for that clarification, and I'm sure the listeners really appreciate the chronological breakdown here this morning.
They don't really care. They're still asleep.
Yes, apparently. But not you with your trademark smile here this morning. So you're here to help Idaho businesses, Idaho kids?
Yes. It's a competition where it's an entrepreneur-type class they enroll in, and they come up with a business plan or marketing plan and to sell a product, invent a product, come up with something that they got to present. And we sit and judge how they're presenting their program and their ideas, how well they handle themselves, what kind of concepts, whether the idea is a good idea or not.
But well, you're kind of a tough customer. Are you going to be okay with these kids?
Oh, yeah. I did it last year. I had a lot of fun with it. The kids are very sharp. You know, it's good to get them thinking in an entrepreneurial way. And a lot of these guys had some great ideas, but they also had some good marketing models and stuff like that. And social media does play a big role in their marketing concept, which, as you guys know, with your Town Square Media program with businesses, you guys are doing a lot of that social media and how to combine radio and advertising through social media. And this is kids are doing that. And hey, it taught me a lot.
Wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to be teaching them. So isn't this like Shark Tank or you vote who's off the island or whatever?
Actually, it's a lot like Shark Tank. Yeah. I don't have millions to offer.
Would you
though.
Be Kevin O'Leary or?
I would
be Mr. Wonderful?
Yes.
Well, that's probably a good name for you. Pat from Middleton with us. How long are you hanging out here?
I have to be there for breakfast and orientation at 7:30.
So. Oh, gee. So you're just, in other words, you got there here early because you were looking for a parking spot and you're killing time.
Well, you know, you never know what the traffic's going to be like, and I hate coming into Boise for any other reason.
Well, so. You know something? I will tell you this. You better watch yourself, buddy, because we have Sheriff Donahue coming in at 7, so if you get out of hand.
Well, yeah, I actually know him pretty well. He's comes to our Friends of Fellowship group.
Yeah, see, here he goes again. You know, you try and make a point. Pat from Middleton, there he goes again with his smile. All right, more coming up. We will talk a little bit about race relations in America. Do they translate to Idaho? Your calls are next, 580-5436. You won't believe what some of these folks are saying in Ferguson, Missouri, following the fallout of these two officers that were killed, or not killed, but shot, the two police officers in New York that were killed in the line of duty. 617, 38 degrees. Pat from Middleton with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Good morning, Kevin. If people knew and understood in Idaho what they've got with Kevin Miller here at KIDO, they would all tune in.
Kevin, one of the things I appreciate most about you is the time that you give veterans to talk about things that matter most in life, the land of the free, the home of the brave, things that they fought for.
Let's get it started. Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And talking to you at 580-5436, you know, I got a couple fun things on the website this morning. I spent last night actually blogging so much it made me sick, but we've got a couple cool things here. You go to 580kido.com. Will the Broncos win the Mountain West? Yes, they'll win it all. Or B, Wyoming will beat them. Then we have this photo, and how many people have seen this photo where you have the young child that is being cradled by the American flag? And at 580kido.com, is it patriotic or offensive? We'll get back to that in a minute. And also, Pat from Middleton is with us. You like bacon?
Oh, I love bacon.
Yeah. You and I have, like, physiques built by bacon.
Yeah, probably so.
So this was another social media trend yesterday where you had a guy who wrapped bacon around a barrel of his M16, cooked it, and then he ate the bacon.
Okay.
So, if you want to see what's shaking with the bacon, that's also at 580kido.com. Before we get back to Ferguson here, a very divisive issue, and really it doesn't play, or maybe it does play here in Idaho, because a lot of you have moved from California and other places where you have the racial strife, you have the racial divisions, you have the angst. Not so much here. However, before we get to that, what do you make of this photo? Have you seen this photo? You live on social media, so.
Yes, I have, and I think it's actually quite adorable. I think it's no different than a track star who won the 100-yard dash or 100-meter dash and wraps himself in the flag, or some athlete who runs around with the flag around a celebration of victory in support of the USA. I don't think it's any – this is one man, one military man cradling his son or daughter, I can't tell the gender, but either way, his child in a flag, and I think that's, you know, we should be wrapped in the flag. I really do. I think we should support and be patriotic. And
so you believe it's okay to wear flag shirts, flag shorts, flag socks?
No, not necessarily, but I think when
where's your consistency?
Well,
exactly.
You're not supposed to wear the flag.
Right? Well, that's what this kid's doing. He's wearing the flag.
No, he's being cradled by the flag.
Right.
He's in support.
So wait a minute. I give you a minute to talk, and then you stop.
Well,
our timing is off here. So to Pat from Middleton's point, he believes it's patriotic. On the other hand, look, when this photographer put this out there, she thought she was doing a great job. Then people started ripping her all the time, saying it's exploitive. But to Pat's point, you have a lot of people, and it's funny. I did a Google search, kids with flags. Everybody's wrapped in the flag. However, I will disagree with Pat. I don't think it's appropriate for singers, commercial stars, to be wrapped in the flag. Those folks that fought for that flag, that fight for our freedom, they take it very seriously. I would never judge anyone that has gone on and paid the price, whether it's through individual sacrifice or the ultimate sacrifice for our country. I do have an issue with remembering the old days, Madonna or Gwen Stefani using the flag as their own commercial endeavor, if you will. They probably couldn't spell the Pledge of Allegiance. However, do you believe that this criticism of this woman is justified? They're ripping her, saying, hey, get that kid out of that photo.
No, I don't think it's justified. I don't.
Wow. A short sentence from Pat from Middleton. That is one issue that we are talking about. And coming up, we're going to take a look at Ferguson, but something else that really got my attention the other day, and that was our friend Chris Farrell. And by the way, we like to brag about what we bring to you each and every day. Chris Farrell was on the Fox News Channel, the young man from Judicial Watch. And apparently now Judicial Watch, because of Hillary Clinton, because of everything else, they're going to reopen 9 or 10 of the lawsuits that had been dismissed because of the Hillary Clinton emails. Here's something, though, that I want to get to coming up concerning what's happening south of the border.
The threat from real live bad guys coming through Mexico into the United States is very real and very dangerous. And so Mohammed shows up in a place like Tampico, Mexico, and he gets off of a container ship there, and for $1,500 he gets 100% real Mexican identity documents, you know, all the raised seal and the right stamps and the photo ID and fingerprints and everything else. Because it's corrupt government officials there that are willing to generate phony identification documents for that very cheap price of $1,500. And so he's not buying a phony ID at the 7-Eleven or the Circle K for $100. He's getting real, live, legit Mexican papers. And so Mohammed becomes Manuel, right? And then he goes off to a series of training camps in Mexico where he is taught language, culture, dress, food, mannerisms, all the sort of cultural things that allow him to blend in. And then over a period of time, he's moved north. That is real. That is going on today as we speak. And at a certain point, my very grave concern is that those people will start to take action.
Mohammed becoming Manuel. Let's talk next. Kevin Miller with our great friend, the ever shy guy, Pat from Middleton, the international playboy, with us this morning on 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you're just tuning in, I do want to get to Ferguson and this issue involving about LaBois Park. But before that, let's hear once again from Chris Farrell.
The real live bad guys coming through Mexico into the United States is very real and very dangerous. And so Mohammed shows up in a place like Tampico, Mexico. He gets off of a container ship there, and for $1,500, he gets 100% real Mexican identity documents, you know, all the raised seal and the right stamps and the photo ID and fingerprints and everything else, because it's corrupt government officials there that are willing to generate phony identification documents for that very cheap price of $1,500. And so he's not buying a phony ID at the 7-Eleven or the Circle K for $100. He's getting real, live, legit Mexican papers. And so Mohammed becomes Manuel, right? And then he goes off to a series of training camps in Mexico where he is taught language, culture, dress, food, mannerisms, all the sort of cultural things that allow him to blend in. And then over a period of time, he's moved north. That is real. That is going on today as we speak. And at a certain point, my very grave concern is that those people will start to take action.
There we have it. So we have these training camps going on in Mexico. Not a lot being done about it. We hear about the drug trade here in Idaho. Not a lot of news about that, thankfully, because of our great police. And yet, are we shocked about it? When I heard this, I was shocked about it. What about you, Pat, from Middleton?
No, I think Kennedy has been mentioned.
Are you on Sean Hannity's show?
No, I'm in your show. But
right, well, what's the script?
You're
going to be honest? Is that it?
I've listened.
Okay, thanks, Pat from Middleton. We appreciate that.
I've heard your show, and you talk about it all. This has been happening. You've talked about this in the past, that the fear is that that's what would take place because of how easy it is to get across our border.
Now, how concerned are you about this?
I'm very concerned. I've always been concerned. Until we decide we want to protect ourselves and have real leadership, we're probably not going to be able to do anything about it.
Okay, so we will take your calls on that, and perhaps you'll review more of Sean Hannity's show, which you can catch this afternoon at 3 here at 580KIDO. Pat from Middleton with us. If you want to give him a smack, have at it. Okay, let's get to this Senate bill concerning gaming machines at the horse races. Do you go to the track at all? Are you a track kind of guy?
No.
Even though you at one time were the international playboy of this program?
That has nothing to do with the track. I mean,
well, the playboy goes to the track.
Yeah, I show
play
up
the
in,
ponies.
I show up in obscure places.
All right. Well, it's very appealing to our highly educated listening audience here today. LaBois Park and other horse racing facilities fear they will have to close because the gaming machines that the Senate approved, that the Senate didn't look at before they approved them, actually are illegal. Let's take a listen from our friends at Channel 7 at 580KIDO.
Legislature passed a bill to make these historic racing machines legal. Well, now, after some complaints from Idaho's native tribes, they are going back on what they've already done, trying to repeal that bill and make it illegal. LaBois Park is a popular summer spot to watch horse racing and have a drink. John Sheldon, president of Treasure Valley Racing, which operates LaBois Park, says live racing was losing more than $1 million a year. And the historic racing games have saved the track.
The goal was to increase the purse amounts for our live race meet, create jobs, and save the live horse meet.
Now, it's interesting here, if you're just tuning in, at 580KIDO, because LaBois has been open, what, 3 or 4 years? And all of a sudden, we heard that it was great that people were coming back to the track. They had a ton of earned media coverage, which means free media coverage, because everybody would go out, hey, it's Kentucky Derby time, let's go to LaBois. Hey, it's this time, they're at the track. Hey, the ponies are running, it's going great, it's great, it's fun, it's exciting. Now we learn that just horse racing itself, which was brought back here by Bear Bryant Jr., go figure, is losing money. So what do? They bring in these historic gaming machines that aren't historic, and the tribe has an issue with it. Now, the issue that I have with this here at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, is that you know, who did the economics? And who's running the joint? Is it the Senate? Is it the tribe? Or is it you?
You take 100 people and take them into the turf club and ask them where they are, they're going to tell you they're in a casino, most of them.
Garden City Mayor John Evans testifying before the House as this bill was being debated.
If you eliminate historical racing now, you will decimate the equine industry in Idaho and programs for the state of Idaho in regards to equine.
Right, but if the equines aren't doing it against themselves, why in the world would you want the machines to carry the load, Pat?
Because horse racing in this area has been hurting for years and years and years. I don't know if you've been here very long, long enough to know that it's had several owners, occupants, where they've just not been able to continue on. It's very costly. It's been closed several times because of lack of funds and the restrictions put on. It's a county owned, the county or the city owns it, and they put a lot of restrictions and limit how many days they can actually horse race. And so it's highly regulated. And so,
oh my gosh, you're giving me a history report. Here's the skinny. Do you allow the gambling in? Number one, 580-5436. Do you agree with the tribe? They're looking out for their own economic interest, because where can you go and gamble? Well, you can go do so on the reservation. Or do you look at it my way that, you know, if the track can't make it on its own, you know, do you bring in those machines? I think it's a back channel, to bring in the gambling.
Well, as with all things related to gambling, the revenue potential is huge. This is what makes these machines so enticing to people looking for instant payouts. Enticing to business owners looking to subsidize their profits.
There you have it.
If this bill passes, financial support for Idaho public schools, county fairs, and youth 4-H and equine programs will disappear, and a substantial investment by Idaho business will be lost.
So in other words, if the gaming machines are gone, it's all over. We might as well close the schools. Never mind they get money from the lottery. Never mind they get money from levies. Never mind they get a lot of money.
Well, beside the point, the government itself passed a law to allow it. They should have done their due diligence and known that it was against the Constitution or amended the Constitution. But now it's like they give them the okay to do it. Now they want to take that stick, that carrot away.
Well, who's the dope? Okay.
The legislators.
Why are the legislators the dope?
Because they approved it in the first place. If they had said two years ago before they approved it and they spent all that money to bring in those machines, they would have said, no, we're not going to pass the bill. Let it close on its own. But now they allowed it, they approved the law, and now they want to backtrack and say, oh, we don't want to do it anymore.
Well,
is it because they're
concerned over this, or are they or is it because they're thinking about this at 580-5436 that, you know, they don't want to upset the tribe? Who's running these things?
You know, they should have taken that into consideration far beyond this. You know, they passed a law that people have spent money, they've got time, they got employees. It will shut it down. And that's going to affect a lot of jobs. And this is what happens when government starts tinkering with things and regulating everything. If they don't do their due diligence.
Yeah, you're a business guy, though. You're a shrewd operator. Hold on, let me build you up here at 580KIDO before we give you the smack. You've been to the highest of heights as a local businessman and the lowest of lows, and you've been held accountable for things that have been outside your control. So why would you start a business that, as you pointed out, has been historically a non-revenue generator? You lost $1 million. You bring in the gaming machines to save it. To me, it's a bad business model, is it?
Everybody thinks they have a better plan or better marketing or better management. They can control things, then a little advertising. Look at Fuddruckers just closed their doors, and yet we've got Popeyes and Freddy's Steak Burgers and all the other places just opened up.
Wait a minute. Why are you bringing up food? Because I'm a fatty?
No. I'm just talking about something.
No, wait a minute. Why is he talking about food? That has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, no, it doesn't. So wait a minute. Now, back to this point here, and thank you, Ray Amai, for bringing that up. The legislators were not shown the correct machines. It was, hey, this is how it's going to be. They didn't see it. They didn't see the machines.
Whose fault was that? They approved a bill that they didn't do all their due diligence. It's kind of like, hey, we got to pass the bill before we can know what's inside it.
And if the tribe didn't have an economic interest in it,
The tribe should have put up a bigger stink prior to.
If they didn't have an economic interest in it, I don't think that they would care. We go to our own Megan Kelly at 580KIDO. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin.
Have you played the slots?
Not for a long time.
I can see you down there in Monte Carlo.
I see her as a hot slot maker.
I wish. One of the, you know, this business about Lavoie Park.
Oh, that's the, right. Should it close? 580-5436. What do you think, Linda?
Should it close? If it's under the proper regulation, no, it shouldn't. Because it is income for the state and for the county. But horse racing is known to be a, shall we say, less than honest endeavor for years and years and years. And you're inviting a criminal element, believe it or not, you're inviting a criminal element in that nobody wants to deal with. I've seen it happen back east. To tracks that start out really doing good, and all of a sudden there's fingers in the pie that don't belong there, and everything gets turned around and upside down, and then there's 43 losses going, and when you find out who the main player at the bottom was, you want to know why the feds didn't jump in.
Well, good point, Linda. Thank you for the call. 6:49, Kevin Miller in the morning. The international playboy, Pat from Middleton, in with us for a little while longer. We've got Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue with us coming up at the 7 o'clock hour. Time for traffic now. At
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
There's a bill in the legislature that would make these machines illegal.
I'm very disappointed. I mean, we've been able to, in 2014, we paid over $900,000 in horse racing-related taxes, which contributed over $200,000 to education. We paid another $100,000 in sales tax. We created the 98 jobs. We're doing exactly what we said we were going to do. And if they repeal Senate, if Senate Bill 1011 passes, it will end live racing at Lavoie Park.
That's right. If Senate Bill 1011 passes, Treasure Valley Racing will close up shop and walk away.
So there we've heard from Lavoie. Now let's hear from you at 580-5436. Jobs will be lost, but on the other hand, if you're bring, if you're not sustaining yourself with your fundamental business, i.e. horse racing, should you be in business nonetheless? Pat from Middleton and Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO.
And most businesses have multiple sources of income or diversified. They have more products. You don't go into McDonald's and just get Big Macs. You go in there and you can get fish, filet of fish sandwiches. You can get a variety of things, even salads. If you don't have more things on your menu to offer, you can't. And they are only open for 60 days during the summertime. That's how do you support a year-long venture on 60 days worth of income? You have to subsidize it somehow.
Right, and, you know, again, it's a slippery slope, and we've seen this with racetracks across the country. All of a sudden, you have gaming machines, then you have this, then, you know, it becomes a full-fledged casino, and that's not going to happen here in Idaho.
The thing is...
Would anybody miss Lavoie Park?
Yeah.
How many times have you been to Lavoie?
It's not a matter of whether I've been
there.
How
many times have you ever been there?
No. Not
so how do you know that people are going to miss it?
It's not the people that actually predict. It's all the horses.
Well, I think
it's a big industry.
You know, you and I were talking. Well, apparently not here. It's not a big industry if it can't support itself. Look, let's go back to your foodie topic, which I don't know why you want to talk about it, but we will.
I like food.
You take a look at some great people. They ran the local Fuddruckers. They had two locations. You had people coming in. And this is a story that has kind of been covered by the local press, but not to the extent that we have. But you've seen a lot of historical traditional businesses in the last 3 years close their doors.
Yep. Now they either get tired of the management, they don't know how to change their business plan or their format.
But if Fuddruckers it can leave, can Lavoie? It comes down to, is it up to the state of Idaho to amend its laws to support Lavoie Park? And if it left, would people miss it?
They already amended their laws to allow them to stay. That's why they gave them the right to game it. If they hadn't done that, Lavoie would have gone 2 years ago.
And it's only been back, what, 3 years?
this new group has been here 3 or 4 years now.
Right. And so what is, well, what does that say? Maybe they thought that they were going to sneak this in.
But it's a leased building from the county, and they had to go in and do a lot of major repairs and upgrades to make it even a usable facility, which was a lot of expense account.
So?
Well.
So?
Well, all they did
Wait a minute. It may be in your socialized world, Pat from Middleton, that works, but a lot of people put money into businesses and they don't succeed.
And I'm not saying that.
So where is the culpability here?
Where is the culpability here? The legislature passed a bill. They applied for gaming rights. Legislature passed a bill to let them do that. If they hadn't done they would have ended 2 years ago.
The big issue here is that perhaps, with due respect to the folks that invested in LeBlanc that were welcomed back into the area, it just ain't happening here.
Well, then that's fine. But
they've got to go.
But the thing is, the government.
Kind of like you.
The government.
580 KIDO, time for traffic now. Good morning, Dave. Thank you, Larry. 37 right now in Eagle. Pat from Middleton with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning. 580 KIDO, you were saying?
You let the legislature make these laws. They passed it. They approved them. They went ahead forward with the laws. They benefited their business by it. Now you want to take the rug out from underneath them. That's wrong.
Right. Let's continue to subsidize a business that's not working.